Everybody, and welcome to TYH, a podcast dedicated to youth issues. My name is Anglo, and with me I have the glorious Nike.
Hello.
How are you doing this fine Monday, I believe? Yes, Monday.
Doing fine, my friend. How's yourself?
I'm feeling good, you know. I feel pretty good after our last episode with Eric Strecker. Hope you guys enjoyed that. It was a pleasure to talk with him.
Real fun time.
And this leads on to something else. If you guys have any guest ideas, please leave them in the comments. I know we got some, but maybe some more ideas. I don't know. Maybe there's some YouTuber or podcaster we could get in touch with. Preferably someone who's been vetted, like you could kind of vet, like a content creator. I think that's a safe bet.
Right. If they're already putting themselves out there and, like, you know, people, I mean, it's easy to find their stuff, then
yeah,
that'd be good. Baseline,
because I've been rather busy, so some of the content on our side I don't consume all of it like I used to, so I don't know all of the new guys, I guess you can say.
There's like a new batch of people, especially on YouTube, I'm sure, that are coming from a YouTube milieu that's we've just haven't been exposed to.
Yeah, so if you guys have any ideas, leave them down below in the comment box on TRS Radio. So, something happened to me today. I just want to bring up a little kvetch, I guess.
All right.
My mama went to the store to get some groceries. And she always, her favorite brand of paper towels is Brawny.
Isn't there like tagline, the quicker picker wrapper?
Yeah. Fun fact, when I was younger, my mom told me she likes to get that because there's a very handsome man on the packaging. But they upped their game. And this is an instance of woke capital. I don't know if this is permanent. I hope not. But they replaced the infamous kind of, what would he be? I don't know. Just this.
A mascot.
This mascot. But like, what would you describe him as?
Lumberjack.
Lumberjack. There you go. This lumberjack, not a lumbersexual, but a lumberjack, Chad Alpha White Man. And they replaced it with two females. There is what seems to be a like 15-year-old girl and a like 60-year-old black woman wearing the getup of the previous mascot. On their packaging, they now have hashtag strength has no gender. If this doesn't show you how dystopian modern capitalism is, it says Brawny, now a proud supporter of Girls Inc., Girls Incorporated.
Wow. The self-awareness there has reached new depths of absence.
I can't wait till Antifa celebrates Brawny because of their wokeness.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
So here's the back of the packaging. In celebration of Women's History Month, I thought it was Black History Month. That's a little problematic, to be honest. Join us.
Yeah, I think you got an old box there.
Join us in honoring the pioneers who have paved the way for others to follow, and the up-and-comers who are making a name for themselves and shattering gender stereotypes. We are proud to support Girls, Inc., the nonprofit that inspires girls to be strong, smart, and bold. Let's shape a better future, improve, hashtag strength has no gender. One thing I want to say about strength has no gender, biologically males are a lot stronger than females. That's just how things are.
And that's because facts don't care about your feelings.
You could even frame this in a different way, in that women have a different type of strength. Maybe a motherly strength, I don't know, or a...
No, I definitely believe that to be a true thing. Is that something that could
be
described?
But that's not how they're framing it. What they're doing is they're trying to make...
You can fill the fill the archetype of this lumberjack.
Yeah, you can become a lumberjack, and which I'm pretty sure
Lumberjane,
that's good. I don't believe there are many women lumberjacks or lumberjanes out there.
I don't think so either.
But this is just woke capital, which is, I think there's a Twitter that documents this. Like the capitalists would rather, they'd rather make the Marxists happy than they would the nationalists happy, you know?
Well, no shit, brah.
Yeah.
It's been like a story for like,
I know, but there's people who have the libertarian mindset, or maybe the conservative mindset, that worship the people that worship the free market or whatever.
You know, if there are more examples of capital siding with the nation as opposed to communism, then maybe we would be more amenable to it because it would have a better track record. But these counterfactuals don't change reality, unfortunately, and the reality is that, yeah, we don't really owe them any favors because they never did us any favors.
Which company is next? That's what we gotta.
Like, next is in what?
Next in, they're gonna change a logo or they're gonna have a paused commercial. All of them, I think, eventually.
Man, that's like.
What is it gonna be like? Bolt House Farms carrots now or something, like something stupid.
Who knows?
Like,
I mean, it could be any of them.
Hashtag stop crush the phallus or something, and they're gonna like make carrots shaped like vaginas instead of like a phallus symbol. I don't know.
Oh god! When it comes to these companies trying to breach new horizons of wokeness, it's, I don't know.
Maybe they're gonna
take Tumblr and like, you know, minus 2 years.
But are they gonna make Aunt Jemima a woke black lady? Is she gonna wear like that African headdress that they wear? Instead of the,
you're right, dude. That would be hilarious. And that's probably one prediction.
Put some problem glasses on her. Yeah, it's.
Oh my god, no! You're right. They're gonna do that. They're gonna make her like Afro-punk Jemima.
Afro-punk Jemima, Uncle Ben, turn him into like a tranny.
Uncle Benita.
Yeah, Benita. To reiterate something, I guess we said before. If you haven't realized that capital is kind of our enemy, you know, stuff like this, if you're still holding on to this idea of the free market or whatever, and just let companies make their own choices, you're going against your interests completely.
Go take a moment of introspection and consider like the just if you can count it on one hand the ways that capital works in your interest under, you know, free market conditions, and just
you could
take personal note of what they all are and see what that really adds up to in the long run.
The only thing that I could say the benefit of capital recently has been Amazon. I could like get Hegel books sent to me in 2 days, but that's about it.
But that's not really something that's like in your particular interest. It's like your market preference, but it's like, is it your long-term, actually, like aspirational interests? Not really. I mean, I'll let you count that as like one. That's like the free space on the bingo card.
Yeah.
Like free market capital lets me buy things that I want. Okay, free space. Now name anything else. You know, give me a list of like however many other things that you can legitimately claim to benefit from.
Well, this brings up a point that I've thought about before. I'm a big fan of books. I buy books often, but I also go to libraries and stuff like that. And the state of the American library is very despicable. Like, there's not many books in them. Maybe if you live in a wealthy area, that might be different, but the books just suck. You know, you can't, there's so many books you want to look for, you can't find them. You have to like go to a university to find them. I think, you know, what we should do, one of our goals in the ethno state should be to make libraries a priority again, I guess. I don't know if they ever were in America, but, you know, because you don't want to have to buy books every time you want to read something. And so, like, say if I wanted to read Schopenhauer or something, I couldn't find it at my local library. I'd have to go buy it or go to a university library. And if you're not a student, you have to, like, pay a special fee to take out a book there. And it's, I just wish that we could improve our libraries and our literary culture in general. Do you have experience with libraries and just being disappointed?
Sure. I mean, well, being disappointed, I don't guess not. No, I don't really have that much emotional stock in libraries.
As someone, I don't know, I feel like maybe I'm kind of compensating for a youth that lacked books, which is why I probably like to hoard books now, because I didn't really read growing up that much. I wasn't very literary minded, I guess. I was, my strengths were like math and science when I was a kid. But that kind of switched when I was a teenager. And now, like, my strengths, I think, are more in the liberal arts. So, yeah, I as someone who wasn't really raised around books, I feel like I kind of, I think about them more than most people. It's because I'm kind of, like, filling a void in my heart. I don't know. Sounds kind of weird, but.
I don't know what to say to that.
Some weird Freudian stuff. But, book, you know, books are good. I love books. And I don't like these.
Books are nice. I mean.
Disposable I paperbacks. Information
from, I mean, I'm happy getting my information from any medium.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. The thing I like about books is that you know, it's a tactile experience, but you could also write on them. And that's.
It is.
That's important when you're reading a work of philosophy. Maybe if you're reading literature, you could kind of, you could just, you know, you don't have to write anything. But if you're doing deep analysis, sometimes you spend like 2 hours on a paragraph to understand it. If it's a very dense and weird philosopher to try to understand it, you know, you have to mark that page up. Mark that page right. up. Make some, you know, charts on the side. I don't know. Write your thoughts.
I don't really have a habit of that.
I do when it comes to philosophy
books. If I take notes, I do it outside of a book.
Yeah, I do that too, but sometimes it's just a lot better because to just to have it there. Cause
I'm sure there are advantages.
I have yeah. too many. I used to do that, but I have like a stack of just notes of too many papers and just gets in the way. So I'm like, I might as well just write in the book.
Huh.
Keep it in there. Or sometimes I fold up the papers and put it inside the book when I'm done. I'm a bibliophile, I gotta admit. I'm not a Greco-file, though. I'd say Rome.
That's okay. That's what I'm here for.
Rome is better than Greece. Actually, I don't believe that.
I don't think you can really say one is better than the other. Like, Greece is an integral part of Rome.
What came first, the Greece or the Rome? The chicken or the egg?
Greece.
Oh.
Sorry, I can actually answer you that one, fam.
No, in reality, I do like Greece better. I just wanted to trigger you and keep you talking.
It's all right, man. These things, I was triggered by them as a child. I remember having like arguments over this in middle school, and I've since matured.
Well, to me, to get autistic, but Latin culture, meaning like Roman, ancient Roman culture, it can't come to the level that they never reached the level of the ancient Greeks with regard to philosophy and other things. It was just, they kind of just copied them, or I guess were they really?
I think it's okay though. I don't think there needs to be.
Yeah, true.
Because like, reaching levels, I think each civilization has its own like higher talent to contribute. Let's say, I mean, talent for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
Because it's like just
Roman statecraft sort of, or whatever.
It's sort of a mindset that produces these things. You have to come from a certain mindset with its, you know, given propensities and whatnot to actually, you know, prioritize philosophical thought as opposed to other things. And like that will define what
Romans are more practical.
Civilization. Perhaps. Yeah, I think they found value in different things where.
True.
You know, came to them such that they didn't really feel the need to produce any new philosophical ideas to the extent that the ancient Greeks did, because they felt it sufficient what they had learned from ancient Greece. So they focused their scholarly pursuits towards things like law.
Yeah, stuff I'm not interested in. And I will admit that if you're like a Catholic, maybe there's some stuff you could. Catholic philosophy, but I'm definitely not a Catholic. So, sorry, Catholics, but I'm definitely not a Catholic. And yeah, but the Greeks and the Germans, I think, are the kings of philosophy. French are kind of annoying. English, not that good, even though I'm an Anglophile. I admit the English, well, yeah, you know, you have John Locke and stuff like that. Hume, he was Scottish, but nothing too interesting. I'm not going to be one of those guys who says, oh, Locke was a retard. Because he did add to philosophy. Without Locke, else would Kant respond to?
So many questions that we're answering to this day.
Yeah.
Or we're debating to this day. I think they have their answers, but we're just debating what's more useful, I think. I think what a lot of political philosophy today becomes is just what's more useful to us in today's context? And some people want to find out, you know, what are the core first principles of things that should inform our political thought. But I feel like that's less of a debate that has consequences in real political terms, as opposed to just, you know, the back and forth between people at universities that, you know, don't go anywhere.
Yeah, just stupid arguments over stupid things. Was there like woke capital back in the day? Has capital always been woke?
No, I don't think so. Well, to the extent that capital has existed, I don't know.
I'm not a very big guy. I'm not into economics, so.
I think perhaps the origins of industrial level philanthropy could be like the precursors to woke capital.
Yeah, the sort of
people such as like Carnegie, Vanderbilt, the industrial barons of, you know, the tycoon capitalist era.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
These people were known for engaging in, you know, big acts of philanthropic investment, and perhaps that is the precursor to woke capital. Is just being a multi-millionaire, billionaire, and needing something to spend money on. So yeah. You
besides like
start a charity.
Besides like cocaine and degeneracy or whatever they do. And child sacrifice.
You can't blow no man can spend $1 billion on his own cocaine habit throughout the course of his life. It's just not going to happen.
Did you hear about that news reporter in L.A.?
Oh, God.
He died. Yes. I mean, I don't know if the show will mention this or not, but he died in the process of getting crystal meth stuck up his butt, his anus. And he was wearing like a BDSM mask and he like threw up and I guess he choked in his own throw up and probably suffocated in that mask. I don't know exactly. I didn't want to read the whole thing, but that just shows you what these fools are up to.
Common filth.
Like, this was like a meme from Common Filth. I can't believe it was real. He was sticking crystal meth up his anus.
Meth slam.
What?
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now.
It's kind of sad because after I heard that story, when I'm on my commute and I see people driving, it makes me, like, it lowers trust in a way, but it's like, what if that guy is a creep and he's into this stuff? Who do I trust anymore? What if he's a pedophile?
You can't trust anybody anymore, man. You can't.
Like, no, it's
this is Putnam writ small.
Putnam.
You cannot trust. Yeah, Robert Putnam.
Oh.
This is bowling alone writ small. You cannot trust your neighbor on a daily basis, you know, if you don't really, really know him. If you're not aware of, like, what he gets up to
in
his personal life, then you don't really know him. And you have plenty of good reasons to express healthy skepticism towards their life and their, I guess, morality.
Yeah, because you just don't know. This stuff's, I'm not trying to be blackpilled, but it's more prevalent, I think, than people realize is just degeneracy.
Yeah, no. I mean, because it can go on in private like this, and it only gets attention when somebody gets hurt.
Then it's just because, you know, we have pornography that keeps on adding fuel to the fire to these guys. And who knows, some of these guys probably got into this stuff through pornography, or maybe some of them were naturally inclined toward this stuff and sick perverts from the get-go, but
I think this guy had a wife and kids already.
Oh, gosh, man. And he's like gonna spread
This was just like his
you're like spreading AIDS like, to your wife, you idiot. You're just a scumbag.
I don't know if he had AIDS, but
I think it's a good assumption. Likely. if he's like slamming meth up his ass, he's probably
don't get me wrong, I don't put it past him, but like I think the you're more likely to like get caught earlier on if you've spread HIV to your wife. Oh. Or like you knowingly have it and just like avoid any contact between mucosal membranes with your wife. And, you know, eventually she's going to be like, why are you still using a condom?
Yeah.
You know, if these things just.
Well, I do meth slams, honey.
I think these things have to exist in secret. And I think. It's hard to keep AIDS a secret when you're married with kids.
When you're like, when your immune system is just destroying itself.
Yeah, it's like, what's with all the frequent doctor trips?
But just imagine that the kids, like, your father has been discovered to be an extraordinary pervert. Like, not just a pervert, like, oh, he's a dirty old dog that, like, whistles at women. This guy is a freak, like a devil.
A degenerate.
Like Satan in human form. And he's your father. Like, imagine that. And it's all over the news.
I don't know how I'd feel, man.
Like, that's so...
Be pretty embarrassing. Oh. I'm just glad that's not true.
Well, back in the day, there were probably signs, right? Like, if you're around this guy 24/7, you go to church with him, you, like, toil in the fields with him, they'll probably sneak out and be like...
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, if you're in somebody's life more than we are in each other's lives now, then yes, there's openings for you to recognize patterns.
Hey, I saw John hiding behind the toilet when I was, going to the bathroom. What's going on here?
If somebody has an entirely secret lifestyle, present audience excluded.
It's funny how we have to
hard to keep up.
We have
appearance.
To be surreptitious like these guys. Like, you have to surreptitiously do our things. Like, these guys
almost.
We're like, except, these guys slam meth.
I don't hide my political opinions from my parents.
Yeah, true. But it's like we're kind of relegated to that element and so, like that type of behavior. Not that. Yeah. That sounded, that could be
like, we're not trying to hide from our neighbors, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the difference.
That's true, because we want, like, sometimes, like, you want to tell your neighbors, but you can't, because then, whereas I'm pretty sure this guy wouldn't want to tell his neighbors that he slams meth.
Ever. Yeah, no.
Up his butt.
It's like something that you just don't want anyone else to figure out. And I think there's a difference in that you have to, like, incorporate this more into, like, your lifestyle an extent that we don't, just because, for the most part, the majority of our interaction is on the internet. Mm-hmm. Nobody's coming and going to other people's places or meeting in public, and so there's, less points of scrutiny. This is more inconspicuous, I suppose. So I think there are some categorical differences in the extent to which it's a secret lifestyle. But, it's like, assuming like your neighbor isn't like an Antifa, then you won't really be upset too much if like your neighbor finds out that you have political beliefs.
Your neighbor might secretly be like, oh, that's cool.
They could, or they could resent you, but it's like your neighbor isn't likely to be somebody who ends up doxing you,
Yeah.
These come from very specific people who comprise such a very small minority of our country's population. That it's likely not going to be your next door neighbors.
Yeah, it's going to be highly some unlikely. Freak that's 30 years old and he's hiding as a student at Berkeley or whatever he was doing.
Yeah, maybe they're across town, but they're probably not your neighbor. And if they were, if you knew your neighbor at all, you might be able to tell.
Yeah. Well, let's get the pause out of the way, just so maybe we could talk about brighter things on the other side, hopefully. But this is from Russia Today. Gay and trans sex education to be taught to 5-year-olds in UK, and opting out is illegal.
Wow.
So what state enforcing the sexuality. I guess they have like a series of books, and this is one of the books they're probably going to use for what the Department of Education is going to use. I'm not sure, but they have a picture here. From a book called Tango Makes Three, a story of two gay penguins for primary schoolers. And it shows two penguins.
Ugh.
Two penguins in the penguin house were a little bit different. One was named Roy, and the other was named Silo. Roy and Silo were both boys, but they did everything together. And it's getting some very negative feedback from conservative communities, and including some Muslims and Jews.
Oh, thank God. We have Muslims and Jews siding together for the common cause of conservative British values, the good family values of Great Britain.
Questions discussed during the non-assessed lessons, I guess you don't get graded, I don't know, will include, when is it okay to let someone touch me? For 3-year-olds.
Oh my God. How old are the people, going to learn this?
3 years old.
How old are they? No, okay, you have to be very careful. Like, that's just asking for problems.
Yeah.
I will definitely concede that you should let your kid know that it's okay for some people to hug you and it's not okay for others. Because
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There's, like, family members and close family friends that are just, like, your parents' best friends who will, because of that friendship, will see you and love you as sort of like an aunt or an uncle. Right, I had people in my life like that growing up.
Yeah, people give you hugs.
And it was fine.
I've seen like fathers that kiss their sons on the lips. That's a little weird to me.
Yeah.
That's not a little. That's a lot weird, like, to me. My dad's never done that. I don't even know if my dad's ever kissed me. Because he's not gay. Well,
that's kind of sad, but...
Well, he's hugged me.
Okay, well...
He's probably kissed me when I was a baby and like on the cheek or something, but...
Sure, I mean, if you're saying you don't think that ever happened, I think that's like a level of paternal distance. I don't know.
Well, yeah,
I plan on kissing my children on the cheek and the forehead because they're my child. That's my progeny. That's my flesh and blood, son.
Well, there's some other things that they're
just not going to kiss them on the lips because
that's weird. Yeah, kissing on the cheek and stuff's that's not bad. But I've seen dads who kiss their kids on the lips, and I'm like,
I don't think I've ever seen like a dad do that in person. It's just like
I always get a gross feeling,
like other people's moms. It's just like, yeah, I even don't feel moms. Gross. I just feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, because it might be innocent, but you never know.
I have this funny memory from childhood where I was like in a carpool, right? And I was really little, and like we're getting dropped off for school one day. You know, I'm sitting in the back, like all the other kids filing out of the car, and you know, each of their mom kisses each of them as they're leaving, and then like I'm about to exit the car, and like,
hey, Broad, want to give me a kiss?
No. I was way too uncomfortable with it. I was, you know, I just felt a little weird knowing like I'd be next in line.
She kissed everyone, even you?
No, she joking one time. She jokingly like. Said, all right, you're next. And like, and then just was like, I'm getting, get out of here. But it was just like, it was always, I don't know.
Yeah.
It always felt weird. Maybe because I was a weird kid, but.
You still are.
I still am. But that was one of my formative weird kid experiences. But like still, even at that situation, like this mom wasn't kissing her kids on the lips. Like, no.
Yeah, parents who kiss their kids on the lips, I don't trust that at all.
I don't use that to like bias my opinion. I try to like let that go. I just don't think it's normal. It's like an abnormal thing I put up with.
There's some other stories, I guess, or lessons. What is the difference between transvestite and transsexual? And, well, transvestite, isn't that a pretty much explicitly, like, sexualized term? Like a man who dresses as a woman?
They're trying to change that.
Oh. Because I don't know if 11-year-olds should... I mean, I guess I knew what that term meant as 11 years old. Like,
Yeah, no, I did too. It's just, like, I didn't know what a fetish was because I didn't know what sex was.
Yeah, me either. I was like, what? Yeah. And by 16... Well,
at 11...
Go ahead.
At 11, I think I knew what sex literally was, but I had no concept of sexuality.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, well, the inherent difference therein.
Well, sometimes when I was a kid, what's that show called? Will and Grace would come on, and I just thought gay people were just boys who hugged or something. And it was gross, but I'm like, you never really know how bad it really is. And,
I don't know.
And
my, my earliest inclinations was disgust outright. Abomination.
Abomination. Remember people used to say that when Obama was in power? Obama nation.
Yeah, that might have been like the first joke that was just not funny the first time I heard it.
You know what I did want?
It's like almost too obvious.
When I was a kid, I was like in middle school when Obama got elected. I thought I came up with Obama Nation myself, and I felt like smart, and I went home and it was on like Fox News or something. I'm like, oh shit, I thought I came up with a good little pun. Okay, but there's also this one. And by 16, they'll be told how to disclose positive HIV status to a sexual partner, family, and friends.
No.
So some of the teaching materials for primary school children who are currently being trialed at a predominantly Muslim school in Birmingham are Tango Makes Three, which is what we mentioned,
Birmingham,
and My Princess Boy, which celebrates a dark-skinned or dark-skinned child who loves to cross-dress. There's
what do the what are the conservative based packies say?
Before we go on to that, if they have a response to that, what the packies say, here are some excerpts from the book. So it's drawn in like that, what is that, the Hungry Caterpillar style? You know what I mean? The kids?
No. Aww.
And it says, My Princess Boy loves his dad. And it's like...
They can't appropriate Eric Carter.
His dad tells My Princess Boy how pretty he looks in a dress. His dad holds his hand and tells him to twirl. My Princess Boy smiles and hugs his dad. Oh, here's some other thing from RT. If you thought the Latinos were base, well, I guess the Latinxes, sorry. If you thought the Latinxes were based, here's an article from RT. Latin America's first school for transgender children looks to expand. And this is happening in Santiago, Chile. It was named after Armanta Gomez Vergalado, a Mexican transgender politician and LGBT activist. Here's an interesting thing. There was a school in the UK, and it said a London clinic also found that a third of its young transgender patients had moderate or severe autistic traits. It's basically trannies are taking over. When's Bronny going to have a trans woman of color? A POC?
They can
POC.
They can just... I don't know, retroactively say so.
They could say the mascot has always been a female. It was a female to male pre-op.
Yeah.
Or you could say, or they could just Photoshop a wig onto the mascot, and he'll look like the ma'am guy from GameStop.
That's, oh, God.
We are really living in some dark times for sure. Because this stuff was relegated to like the weird gay discos of the Bronx, right? This wasn't something that was shown on TV. It was like at the weird gay disco clubs back in the 70s. But now it's full front on, excuse the wording, but it's all on screen, full frontal. That's not a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Now it's, you could go on TV and you could watch a 17-year-old nip his pee-pee off and turn it into spam and eggs. And no fun. It's like that Iggy Pop song, No Fun. That's a nice boomer reference.
This is just all disgusting.
Yeah, like back in the day, like, people thought like David Bowie was a fag and they like made fun of him, but now it's normal to be a tranny.
Yeah, now you wish like...
Now you wish you just had David Bowie.
Yes.
Like wearing eyeliner, that's it.
Right, that's like the most, you know, uncomfortable cultural artifact that you have to deal with.
Did you ever get into Bowie? I never did.
I mean, I like Bowie. I've never had like a Bowie like obsession phase. It's just, you know,
I know that he had
music, and I like singing along to his songs.
I know that he had kind of like characters that he acted as, like personas.
Yeah, he had artistic personas.
And one of them was like a Nietzschean Nazi for a little bit. And like
the White Duke.
Yes, the White David Duke.
Yes. And your super secret art name that neither me nor Nitro Dubs will call you is the White Duke.
Yeah, it's... But at the same time, he was a homosexual or bisexual. But it was just
he was a degenerate artist, and you know, he worked in the big corporate entertainment industry. So,
well, there was a time where that whole, you know, Nazi shaming thing wasn't so big, and so artists like punk rockers, who are mostly non-political, would flirt with that imagery. Because it didn't necessarily have the connotation that it has now. It was more like, oh, this is someone we beat in the war, as opposed to this personification of evil. you know, that probably was, I don't know when it was born. It feels like it was probably born in the 70s or 80s, but, or something like that. But definitely wasn't like how it is now. So you could have a bisexual eyeliner wearing freak play with that sort of Aryan aesthetic like David Bowie did.
Well, you could get away with it if you just say it's trans. It's queer. Yeah. If you say that,
go the Death in June route.
Yeah.
I used to like that band, and I gotta admit, that was a band that helped red pill me like 5 years ago when I was 17 or something. But at the same time, man, there's sodomites. If you like Death in June, you really gotta think about that. There's sodomites.
Yeah, more like Death in Jejunum.
Oh, more like AIDS in June. Am I right?
But I guess.
There's,
I don't know if they got AIDS.
Probably. I think there probably. Was. I don't know if. I hope my memory is deceiving me. But on Tumblr, I think someone would share. They like shared a screenshot of one of the guys in a gay porno, like a homemade one.
Yeah.
They blurred out the gross parts. But this is when he was like. Already in his 50s or 60s, so it was like a recent one. So it was like two fat people.
It's gross.
I think the guy's name was not William Pierce. something Pierce. I can't believe I forgot it, but his surname is Pierce.
Okay.
And well, it's him, and he's like a right. boomer, fat boomer, like doing gross, unmentionable things. I hope it was fake. I don't know if someone was just playing a meme. But there is that unfortunate subset of homosexuals who flirt with the National Socialist or even right-wing imagery too, as a sort of sexual fetish thing. Very tragic, but you gotta watch out for those freaks. Well, here's the thing: if you like, I'm not a Jack Donovan apologist, and there's too many people I've noticed who are still kind of. They like, oh, he's a faggot, sodomite. I hate him, but his Way of the Men was good. But I don't trust anything he writes because he's gay. Like, stay away from gay writers. Don't trust anything they write.
Yeah, you're like
you're taking advice from
you're buying into this guy who's like self-admittedly after these like conquest fucks.
Yeah, he said
like you don't think this could be like a personal self-imposed challenge? Like, you know, get the hard right guy.
Yeah.
To put out.
Oh no.
Come on, the egoism of these people, and the ego stroke of such a event, you can only assume the worst of their intentions.
Yeah, assume the worst of a homosexual's intentions.
Like, assume the most sociopathic antics.
Yeah, and
I'm not sorry about it.
Jack Donovan, he did mention in his like previous book called Androphilia, about how like gay people should be the new priests of masculinity or something. It's like, oy vey. Plus, he was a part of the Church of Satan. Oy! He was like a warlock or something. What is this, Halloween Town? Why do you call yourself a warlock, nigga?
You're like, you know, maybe you can read their stuff and you know, maybe you can find their prose compelling. But,
you gotta realize why he's saying those things. I don't know.
Don't let it become a pros before bros type of deal.
And don't trust your anyone who used to call themselves unironically a warlock.
Yeah.
Like that stuff. Like, I was into like Death in June and stuff, but I always thought those retards who took that stuff seriously. And I kind of liked it for the European aesthetic, but you have like those goth guys who would like take that weird stuff, esoteric stuff too seriously and do this warlock magic stuff. And no, man, that stuff is ridiculous and it's going to send you to hell. Maybe just
leave it at the D&D table.
Yeah. Don't that feel when Varg Vikernes has just been a D&D LARPer the whole time. Did you know that his whole aesthetic is born out of like D&D and stuff? He's basically, he's a big role.
So are you saying like he first got into all of this stuff by playing Dungeons and Dragons?
That's what it seems like to me. Dungeons and Dragons and like Lord of the Rings.
Well, I guess it starts somewhere with everybody.
So good Christian boys don't play Dungeons and Dragons. Sorry, Nike.
Dang.
I've never actually.
I'm gonna wake up and be pagan tomorrow. It's gonna overtake me. You know, now that you've said this.
Well, I've never actually been around someone playing it, so I don't even know what it's like. Is it like it's a board game, right? You roll dice, die. That's all I know. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to learn more about it, you can find it on your own time. I mean, I'm not going to explain D&D to you like just casually right now. It's kind of not easy to do, but there's plenty
Warhammer is the one where you paint it, right?
You could paint both figures. I mean,
why don't you like paint a picture instead of a figure?
Warhammer figures in Dungeons and Dragons before. I'm pretty sure everyone does that, honestly.
What?
They like use their Warhammer figures for Dungeons and Dragons.
Huh. Cool. But if you're going to spend all those hours painting a Warhammer, just paint a picture, buddy.
No.
No. I mean, this is someone who really liked Gundam, but Gundam was more practical. Because a lot of it was already pre-colored, and it was just like the fine details that you had to do.
More practical? What does that even mean? These toys.
You don't like my Gundam unicorn?
One of them you don't like to play with.
What?
It's just one of the toys you don't like playing with. It's not more practical than the other.
No, it's like they give you the Warhammer. It's like not even colored. So you spend hours like doing the details of the eyes or something. And it's
well, yeah. I mean, that's the fun part of it for some people is just doing the painting stuff. They don't want it to be like a Gundam where like, you know, the most of the fun is in building the parts together.
A lot of it is in painting in Gundam, but it's not so tedious like it is in those. It used to be like the early editions of Gundam were unpainted and like had screws and stuff in them, like you had to screw it together, like what the heck. But I like Gundam. I like the, what is that, RX-78 Gundam?
I don't know.
Gundam beats Warhammer any day for sure. You could say Warhammer's Aryan or something, but hey, Gundam's East Aryan and it beats Warhammer. And at least there's no gay game added to it. You just build it and you're done. And you get a cool anime too.
I guess so.
Which I've never actually watched.
Do you want to hear some good news from Europe?
What? Are they going to do like a Third Reich Gundam that I could...
I don't know. You can look that up. But I guess the last porn cinema in Paris is closed.
Nikkei, I want to hear those hands clap.
I'm going to credit this entirely to the yellow vests.
I'm going to credit to the Muslims.
Oh, God. Stop. Stop being right.
It's probably true.
I know it's probably true, but like I was just trying to find somebody else to...
Is that really true?
I have no idea.
I like feel like in Paris there's like porn theaters on every corner. I can't believe...
Well, the article is from France 24. And they say, tucked away in narrow right bank street, the Beverly held out for decades as Paris's sole pornographic movie theater, proudly yet discreetly offering nonstop showings of films from the 70s and 80s. But rising rents and changing social mores have finally caught up with the cinema.
Mores? The mores came over.
Yes, social mores, as they call them. Others might say Saracen.
Yeah.
But... They say the Moors have finally cut up with the and the cinema's fans have just a few days left to pick up memorabilia from a symbol of a bygone Paris.
Memorabilia?
I don't know. I guess you get your porn theater t-shirt and show off everybody like a Dirk Dauphiné Beverly Theater in Paris.
Oui, oui. I Dirk Dauphiné my oui, oui. In Paris? In Beverly?
I don't know. God, it'd be so fucking cheesy.
You get a seat that you can
get
take.
One of the chairs.
You get one of the chairs.
How many stains on this are mine?
Oh, no.
After the final screening last Saturday, the traditional couples night... owner Maurice Laroche is remaining on site this week to sell films, posters, seats. You're right. You can buy the wank chair. God, I hope it's not upholstered. I hope it's just like, you know,
metal or something.
Metal or plastic, something you could just wipe clean and
or like just put sanitize. Get like a hose.
Yeah. God.
Not something where it gets caught up in there.
Ugh. I don't want to know. Everything is for sale except me, Lavros told the AFP on Monday, as a handful of men poured over boxes of reels or struggled to make off with a huge speaker. But women made up around a third of the curious crisscrossed the theater's narrow brick-walled auditorium when the sale began Sunday. LaRoche, who managed the Beverly since 1983 before buying it 10 years later, said that at 75 he was ready to retire to the ocean resort town of Royan in southwest France.
Is that the Florida for French boomers?
I could be. I think it might actually. His clients have become fewer as they've gotten older in recent years. Most recently, he had been selling less than 512 euro tickets a week, compared with 1,500 20 years ago.
Hmm.
This was a place where you could be certain no minors would see pornography. Nowadays, they are all watching on their phones. He said. A property developer has bought the site, presumably with plans to install something more in line with Signer Hotel and Tapas Bar up the street in rapidly gentrifying corner of the capital. Well, if it's gentrifying, maybe it was Muslims who were there.
Isn't that interesting, like, when native French people are moving back to native French land, it's gentrifying? Wouldn't that just be, like, nigga, I'm coming back to where I was raised?
According to France's National Cinema Council, only one X-rated cinema now remains in France. The Vox in Grenoble, though no one was answering the phone on Monday. The council doesn't appear to count the films shown at some of the seedier sex shops in Paris's red light district at Pirellet, known for offering more than just a movie.
Ugh.
In its heyday, around 1975, there were over 900 cinemas specializing in pornography in France. Just 6 years later, there were only 90. French film journalist Jacques Zimmer told AFP. Maybe that needs more echo. Jacques Zimmer!
Alors, Zimmer! Oui, c'est très juif. Je n'aime pas les juifs. I don't know. I haven't taken French in so long. It's all just... Je n'aime pas
juif.
Les pornotiteurs.
Les bon. LaRoche said he would be taking his head full of memories and two of the red vinyl seats to the balcony of his new apartment. And that's the end.
Okay. What is he going to do with those seats and sit there and whack off? He's going to
sit there and, like, you know, enter that stage of, Maslow's pyramid of self-actualization. He looks out and thinks what he contributed to this grand world and feels a sense of pride for being able to bring porno.
Then he tries to get up from his seat, but he can't. He's stuck. Somehow. It's like glue.
Hot glue, you might say.
Yes. That's the last thing you'd want to take home is a chair. I mean, you'd have to be like a meth-slamming butt meth man to want to take that home.
I honestly find that as gross as, like, I don't know, collecting the locks on a stall door.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Like, you know that's only covered in other people's germs.
Yeah.
Like, where's the sentimental value? It only seems like seminal value.
Oh, you... Yeah, France. I wonder if Foucault used to go to any of those... places.
Maybe this one was his favorite.
Yeah, this was his favorite. That's why it stayed up open for so long. French government preserved it because he's such a national figure. They want to preserve his memory, and they wanted to keep his favorite porn theater
operational.
Yeah, but
it's a historical site. It needs preservation.
Foucault jerked off here 20,000 times. That's actually everywhere in Paris.
Yeah, no, it was just in his library.
gosh. Yeah, France, I mean, I know they've always been kind of seedy. I mean, I gotta admit, the Europeans have been kind of gross with the sexual stuff. But at the same time, America's really bad too, so I can't, you know, we have that whole area in California where they film all in pornos, so.
Right, I think we have a more healthy, you know, disgust for that.
Yeah,
I think the French could just accept this as, like, a casual thing that, like, maybe they're not involved with, but they don't feel any
It's not too bad. You can go there.
Pornographic theater and some goes there. But, it does not bother me.
You
it's
know,
not in my life.
Hello, but I don't interest in this. I'm okay with it, but I go and I go to the mosque instead. You could go to the mosque or you could go to porno club. That's the only answer. Oh, I turned German. So there's two dichotomies in France.
Which way, white man?
Yeah. You either go to the mosque or the porn theater. Those are the two dichotomies.
Nah, you can go to church. Don't let them fool you.
Nah, I know. But that's what it seems like nowadays. You're either going to the porn theater or you're...
It does seem like that.
Wasn't there like... didn't the French... I mean, I know it sounds like I'm just like beating up on the French, which I don't mind doing, but just kidding. But, you know, the yellow vests, didn't they have this, some females protest, some women protest, like the brutality, which is fine, but they did it naked or something with their tops off?
I don't know. It was just like a directly yellow vests related thing.
I think so. I'm not sure, but there's like that, I think it's maybe a Jeanne d'Arc, Joan of Arc, or like a statue that they have where it's a girl. They're like mimicking that statue. I don't know if it's Joan of Arc, but some French woman figure that has their titties out in on the sculpture painting, and they're kind of copying it. Or maybe
Justice. Well, it could be the embodiment of the revolution, yes.
It could be Justice. You know, the god Justice.
The whore of Babylon.
Yeah. So.
Titties out, running with guns. You know, maybe if it were my wheat field waifu, I wouldn't mind, but she's here to make your life gay, so. Nah. Fag off, Justice.
Have you been to France?
No, I have not.
I haven't either. I just know that if you don't speak French perfectly in Paris, they're going to make fun of you like you're an idiot. But when they come to America, they can barely speak English. Or they could speak it with this.
Which way is the next closest pornographic theater?
Like, they have good vocabulary and all, but like the pronunciation is like, hello, I want, give me directions to the closest Red Lobster. You know, it's...
I am trying to experience some American cuisine.
Cuisine, something like that. It's so if you mess up ever so slightly, in French, it's like you speak perfect French, but you mess up.
Be like, you sir are a nigger.
You are a retarded American. Get out of here. Go back to go Yankee. Go Yankee. Go
Le Yankee Gurum.
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 I know that even French Canadians have a hard time when they go to like Paris. It's, you know, it's like, oh, you're not speaking French properly. So I feel like the French have a. There's nothing wrong with being proud in your language or whatever, but they have like a chauvinism that's not at all pleasant.
Well, that's the center force of their national spirit, unfortunately, to their detriment.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's okay in theory, but in practice it means, like, you know, if you speak French, then you're French. And it's just like, yeah. Actually, no.
Yeah.
Like, it can lead to this super retarded regionalism, where you have, like, I don't know, Basque country in France, and you can have, like, a little bit of Catalonia there. And like Occitania, Britannia,
mm-hmm.
Like all these regions that don't speak like the Parisian French, they have their own
dialects.
Dead languages, and then they have their own like dialects of French.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then that causes like conflict that people actually give a fuck about. It's like, bro, you are like okay with the entirety of Mozambique, not Mozambique, but like other French, like sub-Saharan,
yeah,
former French colonies coming in and like, you know, just being a problem. But as long as they speak French, well then, They are better than those pigs in Brittany.
They are gross. They don't have porno theater like us in Paris.
They are not like Ogagu from Niger.
Ogagu from Niger. They are not like Ahmed from Maroc.
Yeah, that was I took 2 semesters of French, but I forgot all of it because I never liked the language. I just don't want to retain it. I'm actually currently replaced.
I do, because I think it's fun to speak in, but yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna like become like fluent.
Yeah, I don't want to become fluent in French. Currently replacing it with Italian, actually. So on my own time, which is a lot. I like that language a lot better. So Italians won that conflict. But I also want to start learning Greek. I finally found a book that was really cheap. So I want to get started on Greek. And hopefully I could finally talk to some Turkish people.
They might not like that.
I'm just kidding.
It might be like, oh, where's your house? Let me go invade it.
Yeah. Yeah, Yeah, Turks. What even, I don't even know what language family they're a part of. Just, is it, I know it's, is it just Turkic, right? It's just like weird mountain steppe language or whatever.
Yeah, it's like an Asiatic language.
Yeah, it's like, ugh, and it looks retarded too. With all the...
It does. It's like barbarian Finnish.
Yeah.
It's like a cross between Finnish and Hungarian, but I guess, you know, don't read too deeply into that or you're going to find out I'm right.
Yeah. I know it's not a Finno-Urkic language, but I guess the way it looks.
It is closer to those Magyars, though.
Oh, yeah. So do you hold them in suspicion?
I mean, any country that would just be like, go from Attila to like willing to be part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, you know, as like a thing that exists, I'm going to have like a little bit of suspicion. I mean, as it currently stands, the Huns are sort of had the head on straight in terms of national priorities. They got their Viktor Orban.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have my reservations, but I will set them aside until I see evidence to bring them back out. So I don't hold anything against them. I mean, I have friends who are Hungarian ethnically, and you know, I don't treat them the same way I treat Turks.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what I would do if I saw like had to talk to a Turk. I would feel very.
It's best to avoid.
Yeah, it's like, and they have like the again like a word like, not the French are not nearly as bad, but there's like a stupid form of nationalism or pride that's just stupid. It's like,
not even our values; it's our language.
Yeah, it's
like Americans, like, you know, normie cons try to like have a fusion of the two, where it's our language and our values. Yeah. As long as I could speak English.
But they're like,
adopt our values. But that's really just like,
as long as they pray to Israel, that's fine with me.
As long as they bow down to the Star of David. And then that's, you know, you kneel for the flag and you're going to be whipped like Colin Kaepernick. You stand for the flag, but you bow down to Israel's flag.
Yeah.
That's how you be American.
One way to be American is not to put America as a priority, but instead to put Israel as a priority. That's the best way to become an American. In the Bible, it says that Abraham, if you bless the seed of Abraham, the nation be blessed.
But here's the thing. I don't want to be blessed. I feel bad like using a Southern accent, which is kind of what I'm doing, but it's like.
That's who believes this.
It's like boomers. Yeah, like boomers.
It's Southern boomers, man. Like, I mean, I get it. There are like these boomer cons all over the country, but they come largely from the South, and it's not because these are like bad people.
Yeah. No.
But their sentiments have been exploited by bad actors, people who want to take advantage of them. And they're left, you know, with these just drones. And it's not because I hate these people for you know, who they are. It's just that I hate that they've been able to be subverted in this way, and that, you know.
The two things that I love in my life are BB Netanyahu and BBC.
See, no, they wouldn't like it because that's from them damn English people.
No, the with gross
funny accent.
No, that the very horrendous. I've heard about this term on Twitter.
Yes, like, well, I don't know how many would actually say that.
No, I know, but that's the eventual evolution.
I hope not. My God. Ugh.
BB Netanyahu, true patriot.
A real American hero.
BB Netanyahu, real American hero.
Right up there with George Washington.
George Washington and BB Netanyahu.
Oh my God.
My two favorite Americans.
I think it's so funny because Israel's essentially a socialist ethno state, but it's like,
yeah, it's like you can,
nigga.
One way you could like fool yourself into this explanation that, you know, oh, they're inherently attractive to this ethnocentric country that forms its whole legal practice on a preservation of its people. But you know it's not true. You know that's not why they like it.
No, I know.
They will just defend all those things because they like it. The country, that is, not the laws.
Yeah.
If Israel's laws were always such that it was like, you know, immigrants welcome the country.
Well, yeah.
Then they would defend that too.
Well, not even just that. Like, minus the nationalism aspect, like these like ardent anti-socialists, what they'll do is, you know, they'll talk about America being, you know, threatened from socialism. But at the same time, it's like the country that they worship more than America, Israel, is like started by socialists. Yeah, and
what if we just subverted this anti-socialism narrative that's building on the Republican side and be like, yeah, we need to end socialism in Israel.
Yeah. Because
we could be like, socialism is destroying Israel.
Yeah, socialism's destroying them. God's chosen.
They need the free market to save them, to save Israel. Israel is in danger of big government and socialism destroying the entire country and giving it to the Palestinians, the Muslims. And they need free markets. They need to free their markets in order to survive. I wonder how far you could get with that.
I wonder if people are going to stop celebrating July 4th and they're going to celebrate like when Israel won that whatever war.
God, come on, man. I don't want these like possibilities to ever be true.
Yeah, when you're around certain types of Zionist Christians, it's very scary. It legitimately is. It's scary and depressing beyond belief. Because it's like the ultimate cuckoldry, because the Jews don't like you.
Yeah,
Jews, they don't. They hate like evangelicals.
That was like a big wake up, man, for me.
They hate Christians, but they really, like, at least in America, maybe it's different in other countries, but in America, like, they really hate Southern Baptists and evangelicals. That's like their thing that they hate. It's like their boogeyman. But you guys, yeah, like, worship the people who despise you so much. It's so weird. You know,
yeah,
because at least in America, like, the enemy to the Jews, like, in their personal life, really is like the sort of Southerner kind of guy, like that sort of rural American. Oi, and they've convinced these people to worship them, even though they hate them. That's insane. Anyways, guys, I want you guys to send us some donations, and I need to fund my trip to Israel to see the Holy Land. I'm taking my birthright, and hopefully...
My birthright as a Judeo-Christian.
And I'm going to shake the hand of every Jew I see in Israel. I'm going to say thank you.
Let me shake your hand.
Let me shake your hand, buddy. Thank you. Thank you for defending God.
Everything. For everything.
Well, my name is Angla, and with me I have Judeo-Nike.
Don't call me that.
No, I'm
But sorry. See ya.
See ya.
Like...